things in the Sefer. Okay, we spent the first general discussion of the language, then we spent the entire shir on Zohar and the Keva. Okay, a lot of good stuff on Zohar and the Keva. And now there's a lot of stuff, but he goes through all the letters of the Aleph Beis, and he mentions, you know, Aleph Beis is a very big topic. You could spend a whole year on the Aleph Beis, all the secrets of the Aleph Beis and the Kabbalistic concepts of the Aleph Beis. But he has a different agenda. And he mentions, not all that big, he mentions different things. And even what he mentions is a little complicated. So let me just review quickly some things that drew my attention in the writings, the thought of the Mechaber of this wonderful Sefer, whose name is Rabbi Yehuda Lincher. Okay, so Aleph. Let's first discuss the letter Aleph. Aleph, as we all know, is the first of the Aleph Beis of the Midrashim, and he mentions this in a different chapter, really a continuation of what we learned on Thursday, Zohar and Nekeva. Shabbos, we know, we discussed that Shabbos can be in the Torah sometimes Lashon Zohar, and sometimes it's Lashon Nekeva. There's a contradiction in the Torah. Sometimes Shabbos is expressed, is surrounded by terminology that is Zohar, and sometimes Shabbos is surrounded by language, by words that is Nekeva. And in the Nusach HaTfilah, we daven, the Friday night, we say V'yanuchu Vo, and Shacharis, we say V'yanuchu Vo, and Shabbos, Shalashuris, we say V'yanuchu Vom. Okay, some of the knows the Nafkamina, when you do Lecha Mishnah Friday night, which challah are you supposed to cut? You have two challahs, one on top of the other, depends, different minhagim, but many people, they cut the challah on the bottom. Friday night, you cut the bottom challah. Shabbos day, you cut the top challah. And Shabbos and Shabbos, Shalashuddis, there's no hakpada. You do whatever you want. Why? Because the one that is on top is the Zohar, and the one that's on the bottom is the Nekeva. There's Shtei Lechem. There's the Noisein and the Mekabel. The Noisein dominates. The Noisein gives. The Mekabel receives. So you have Lechem Mishneh. The top challah is the Zohar, and the bottom challah is the Nekeva. Friday night in the Nusach HaTfilah, what do you say? The Yanuchu Vah. We discussed the Shabbos. There are two bechinos of Shabbos. Shabbos mitzarecha is a makabel. Different ways to look at that. That Shabbos represents a person's Gan Eden, a person's Olam Haba. And in this world, what you put into Shabbos is what you're going to have. You have to invest in the Shabbos. The Shabbos is what you make out of it. Shabbos is a makabel. It is upon us to prepare for Shabbos. The entire week we are setting aside objects, food, different things. We're designating it for Shabbos. That is a mashal for a person in this world relative to the next world. Everything a person does in this world is a hachana. Mi shemeichem be'er v'Shabbos l'yachol b'Shabbos. So Shabbos is our repository. Okay, it's where we invest in the Shabbos. Shabbos is the storage house. It's the mekabel. So there's a bechino in Shabbos. What you make out of it, that's what you have. You have to give to the Shabbos. You're noisein to the Shabbos. You give the Shabbos its kedusha. Every person invests differently in his Shabbos, and that will bear fruit in the next world. And mitzad sheni, Shabbos is a zohar. More than the Jew keeps a Shabbos, the Shabbos keeps the Jew. Shabbos is the ultimate giver. The fact that we have a Shabbos that holds us, that keeps us on a straight path. Shabbos for Klal Yisrael, what Shabbos does for Klal Yisrael to keep us in the proper frame of mind, it's the great reset. Every 7 days, we have a reset. It's an incredible thing, incredibly healthy thing, what Shabbos does for us. More than we keep the Shabbos keeps us. The Shabbos has the bechina of Shabbos being a noisein, and we are the mekablim. And then there is this unity that comes together. What you give to Shabbos, Shabbos gives to you. The dual relationship is v'yanuchu vam. Friday now we focus on v'yanuchu vo. Shabbos then we focus on v'yanuchu vo. And Shabbos by Shalosh Shuris, the relationship comes to fruition. Noisinu Mekabel v'yanuchu vam. So we mentioned also that the Nusach HaTfilah, the Nud, is also in the Shabbos Shachris. Everything that we say in the Nusach HaTfilah and Shabbos Shachris is Zohar. The Nusach and Shabbos, let me turn to the Nusach Shabbos by Shacharis. Shacharis, we say V'lo Nisato. We don't say V'lo Nisato. You did not give it Hashem Elokeinu L'goyei Ho'arotzois. V'lo Hinchalto. It, B'loshen Zohar, doesn't say V'lo Hinchalto. Malkeinu L'yodei Fesilim. V'lo V'gam Bimnu Choso. Not Bimnu Choso. Lo Yishkenu Arelim. And then we say Elokeinu, and we say V'yonuchu Vo. The Nusach of Shabbos is Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelko. Okay, well, that's not a raya, because that's not a raya, that's not a raya, that's not a raya, that's not a raya, I made a mistake, there's something else I thought. V'chosu v'bohem Shvir Shabbos. Is there another word over here? No, I made a mistake. No, I made a mistake. It's going only in the Lo Nisato and Bo. Musaf, all of a sudden we changed. Tikanta Shabbos. It's not
Korbanos
Seho. Okay, it's Sivisa Peru Sheho im Sidure Nisocheho Me Anegeho. Everything here is in the feminine. Okay, and in the feminine. Now there is a problem with this, there's a contradiction, because when you say Yismechu v'malchuscha, you still continue to say, you say Ratzisa bo. Okay, this bothers me very much. How could it be that Tikanta Shabbos, the entire Nusach, is B'loshoin Nekeva, and when you come to Ratzisa bo, it's B'loshoin Zohar, Mamish, in the next paragraph. What's the pshat? I don't know. Okay, but Nusach Sa, they always say bo.
Right.
They always say bo. Okay, Nusach Ashkenaz is bo, bo, bo. So Musaf L'chorah should go back to bo, because we see that in the Nusach of Shacharis, it's Zohar, and in the Nusach of Musaf, it's Nekeva. All right, that's what we discussed really last week. So there's another Nekuda I want to add, and he says this in the Sefer, I didn't get a chance to say this, is Tikanta Shabbos, everyone is aware that it's backwards. The letters of the Aleph Beis are reversed. Tov, Tikanta, then a Shin, then a Skuf. Are you cold?
No.
What? Are you a little bit cold?
Yeah,
a little bit.
A little bit?
So why is it reversed? It's reversed. Tikanta Shabbos, the entire Nusach is reversed. The letters of the Aleph Beis are reversed. We go from Tav all the way down to Aleph. Notice that in Shacharis, it's not in the Shemone Esrei, but Kel Odon Al Kol HaMaasim, Birchas Kriya Shema is Aleph Beis going forward. It should stop. It takes a few moments until the computer wakes up. Okay. Kel Odon Al Kol HaMaasim, Baruch Beis, Umavrach of Yikol Neshama, Godelai Gimel, V'tivu Moli Olam, Das. Okay, we go.
I bet it was the Israeli woman.
One second. Okay, so it is reversed. It is forward. So in the Nusach of Shacharis, we have a beautiful piyut in Shacharis, and the letters of the Aleph Beis go forward. In the Nusach of Musaf, the letters of the Aleph Beis go backwards. So he says a very powerful idea, Rabbi Lincher, is that whenever you find the letters of the Aleph Beis going backwards, this is feminine. It's feminine. Whenever the letters of the Aleph Beis are going forward, it is masculine. Why? Because let's assume that the correct order of the Aleph Beis, let's assume that the correct orders of the Aleph Beis are going forward. That's Hashem is giving. Hashem created the world with the letter Aleph, then Beis, Gimel. Hashem is the ultimate noising. When the letters are dispatched, and they we as human beings look at the letters of the Aleph Beis, so what do we see on the top of the stack? Okay, this is computer terms. First in, last out. Hashem created a world with the letters of the Aleph Beis. So Hashem dispatched the Aleph, then the Beis, then the Gimel, then the Dal. The most very simplistic, ultra simplistic concept. Hashem dispatched the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. We were the last to be created. We arrive on the scene, and what do we see? From our perspective, what's on top of the stack? The last letter of the Aleph Beis, Tav. When we dig deeper, what do we see on the next, underneath the Tav? We see the Shin, then we see the Kuf, then we see the Tzadi, the Resh, then the Kuf, then the Tzadi. When we look at the letters of the Aleph Beis from our perspective here on the world, we came into the world after Hashem already finished the world, so when we look, we're looking at the top of the stack. First in is last out. Therefore, we who are recipients of Hashem's kindness, who are His creation on this world, we are the Mekablim. When we look at the Aleph Beis as a from our perspective, who are as Mekablim, it's the order of the Aleph Beis is reverse, starting with Tav, Shin, Resh, Kuf, Tzadi, Pei, and Vchulu. So the order of the Aleph Beis, there are two different orders. Whenever the order of the Aleph Beis is presented going forward, that's Mitzad Hashem. When the letters of the Aleph Beis are presented in the Piyut going backwards, that is from our perspective. But it's more than that. It's masculine versus feminine. Therefore, in Shacharis on Shabbos, when we embellish the Nusach HaTfilah with a Piyut in Birchus Kriya Shema, the Piyut, being that the Nusach of Shacharis, the focus in Shacharis is Zohar, V'lo Nisato, V'gam B'menucha So. Everything in the Nusach of Shacharis is devoted to Shabbos as from the masculine perspective. Mimela, the piyut that will embellish Shabbos will be, the letters will go from Aleph to Tav. But being that Musaf, the Nusach of Musaf, the entire thing is in the feminine form. Tikanta Shabbos Rotzisa Karbin Oseho, Tzivisa Perusheho, Im Sidurei Nisocheho, It's in the feminine form that demands automatically that the letters of the Aleph Beis be ordered in reverse. Because when it's in reverse, that presents the world from our perspective. And we are receivers. We are Mekablim. And the fundamental difference, as we discussed last week, between the Zohar and the Nekeva is, Zohar is a Noisein, Nekeva is a Mekabel. So Mitzad the Mekabel, We look at the Aleph Beis in a different perspective, where the Tav comes first and the last letter is Aleph. So this explains, to me it's very enlightening, explains there are two piyutim in the Nusach HaTfilah that are arranged on Shabbos, every single Shabbos. We arrange, I didn't get back to the Chalas, I forgot to tell you about the Chalas, come back to that in a second, I got sidetracked. But we have on Shabbos two beautiful piyutim that embellish the Nusach HaTfilah, Shacharis and Musaf. Kel Odoin, which is arranged with the Aleph Beis going forward. Tikanta Shabbos, where the Aleph Beis goes backwards. Why is that so? Because Shacharis, we focus on the element, the dimension of Shabbos being a Noisein, being Lashon Zohar, however you want to interpret it. But it's Zohar. There are two dimensions in Shabbos. The dimension of Zohar and a dimension of Nekeva. When the dimension that we focus on is masculine, the correct order of the Aleph Beis is to go forward. When we focus by Musaf on the dimension of Shabbos as a Nekeva Mekabel, that therefore the appropriate order of the Aleph Beis is to go backwards. Now going back, this is a side point, going back to the Chalos, why is it the minig by many, not by all, that they when they do Lechem Mishnah, they have two Chalos, and they put one on top of the other, and Friday night they cut the bottom challah, and Shabbos day they cut the top challah, because Friday night we focus on the dimension of Shabbos, the feminine form of Shabbos, bo, and therefore the two challahs, which one is Zohar, which is Nekeva, the bottom challah is the Nekeva, because the Zohar is dominant, the Zohar is the Noisein, and the bottom challah is the Mekabel. The bottom challah represents the dimension of Shabbos as in the Nekeva form, memela, that's the ikar. So the bottom challah is sliced first. Whereas Shabbos morning, the ikar is to focus on the element of Shabbos in the masculine form, the zohar. So there are two challahs, the top and the bottom. Which one is the ikar? The top, because the top challah represents the dimension of zohar of Shabbos. Okay, so this that these go together. Zohar es yom haShabbos l'kayu. So why it says zohar? You want to say that zohar represents the element of male, and shomar guard to guard is the feminine element of Shabbos. That could be. That's an interesting idea of zohar and shomar. This is a whole big topic. Why is the word zechira related to the word zohar, male? What is it? That's a different topic. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. There are two parts to Shabbos, Zohar and Shomar. Zohar is the more active approach. Zohar is the noisein. The Zohar is always involved in being proactive. And Shomar is to stay in your place and just protect. That's Ikar, the
restraining from Malacha, Shemira.
Restraining, you're just on guard. Restraining, that's the role, that's a more feminine approach. Is the Ikar Abayis, the Ikaris Abayis.
We also see only by Shabbos you say the Shabbos goes into your house. The Haniach Bracha Bekol Moshe V'Techem, even Shabbos, we welcome the Shabbos
into our home.
Into our home.
We're Mekabel.
By Yom Tov, you don't do that. Only Shabbos, it goes to
Shabbos is the Mekabel, right? There are different dimensions. Okay, so that's just one idea. The Aleph Beis, the order of the Aleph Beis going forward represents the principle of masculinity. Going backwards represents feminine form, femininity, that is, Zohar and Kever. All right, now let's go to the Aleph. Now this doesn't say in the same, this just reminds us, this is a very interesting idea. I remember hearing this, the letter Aleph in the Torah is the most complicated letter. In the laws Hilchos Safras, the writing of the letter Aleph is a very big mystery. Even the Mishnah Berurah, who wrote a beautiful kuntres in the Mishnah Berurah called Mishnah Sefer, and he describes the tsurois of the letters of the Aleph Beis. There's a lot of debate exactly what the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, what he really meant in describing the letter of the Aleph Beis. It's very cryptic how he describes the precise tsura of the letter Aleph, and there's a certain few words. A phrase that, or line in the Mishnah Seferim describing the top yud, where it's supposed to be positioned, that is subject to an enormous amount of commentary of what exactly the Mishnah really means, what he said. Obviously, the letter Aleph is a very complicated letter. And I remember hearing this from Rabbi Shur. Rabbi Shur, he's very, very, he very often talks about the letters of the Aleph Beis, and he quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that the letter of the Aleph Beis is really crooked. The real way the Aleph was meant to be written. No, the Aleph is slanted. That's not supposed to be. The letters of the Aleph Beis generally are not slanted. They're all pretty much perpendicular. They're either vertical or horizontal. When you have something that's slanted, you right away, something is not right. He says that he cites a Medrash that says the real way the Aleph was written when the world was created was it was the middle branch that's on an angle is really straight, perfectly vertical. And there are two branches that come out of the Aleph. One on the, like you see in the, you have
on the right?
One on the right, one on the left. One is high.
On the right side, and an upside down yud on
the other side. So it was really originally perfectly straight.
Straight line,
and two branches that come out, one goes a little bit higher, and the other part, the right side goes higher than the left side, and because of the chait, okay, this all goes into Yenei Kabbalah because the Chet Eitz Hadas, because of different reasons, there's damage to the world. And being that the letters of the Aleph Beis are the building blocks of creation, the DNA of creation, Hashem created the world with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, this damage that has come to the world because of our Chatoim is indicated that the Aleph is off balance. And when the world will straighten itself out, for Hoya Hashem Lemelech al Kol Oretz, the Aleph will be restored to its original state as standing straight with two little yuds basically, two little yuds they will be restored. Now, I'll just tell you some of the things. You know, there's an infinite amount of material, and let me just quote to you some of the things that he talks about over here. The word Aleph, on the one hand, the way you arrange the letters. So if you the letter Aleph is Aluf, a chief. Aluf Nu'urai. Aluf means the hero, the chief, the general. The ultimate example, the highest rank a person can achieve in this world. The world was created with the word Aleph, which represents Aluf, that strive for greatness. Now, besides Aleph Beis, Aluf Bina, teach or learn, learn, study, it means knowledge. Aluf means, there are many meanings of the word Aluf, but it means, the Gemara says in Shabbos, the famous Gemara, where the children, they came over from Yeshiva and they told them things about the Aluf Beis that they have not heard since the time of Yeshua Ben Nun. Aluf Beis represents Aluf Bina, study, learn, knowledge. Bina is knowledge. Aluf means the activity of absorbing and molding one's neshama with the Torah of Hashem through diligent study. It's a very hard word to translate the word Aluf. It doesn't just mean to learn. Learn is a very boring word. It represents a lot more than just the word learn. But that's the simple meaning. But Aluf also represents a chief. Aluf Nu'urai, the hero of my youth. And the Torah is teaching the first letter in learning is, there's a very very important principle in chinuch, in learning, is to have very, very big hasogos, not to settle with small hasogos. I once heard in a debate, what is the purpose of a yeshiva? You have a yeshiva. And a yeshiva really caters to boys who are, you know, they're not meant to be big rush yeshivas. Two people that were involved at a Shabbos table discussing particularly yeshiva, which they're both involved in. And this yeshiva, you know, it's like a camp. They take the boys on trips. It's a yeshiva for a certain type of boy. Every boy is a gem. And the question was, when the Rebbeim teach in their shir to these boys, what should be the hashkaf of the attitude? So one of the people, they were saying that, you know, you have to know what you're dealing with. And you teach, you know, don't raise the bar too high. You teach, you know, you work with the kids. And the other person was extremely passionate, and he said, no, just because these boys go skiing every 2 weeks and they take them here and there, when the Rebbe gives a shir, you teach these boys with the attitude, even if you're teaching them Aleph Beis, that you are going to become the next Gadol Hadar. You're going to be the next Gadol Hadar. Oh, if I'm going to be the next Gadol Hadar, why am I going skiing? Why do I have 3 cell phones? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? Why are we learning the Aleph Beis? Who cares about that? Don't ask too many questions. The attitude of a Rebbe has to be with, you have to put in the Talmud she'ifos that you're going to be the next Gadol Hadar. It's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. You told me, ridiculous. No, it's not. He was very passionate. No, it's not ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. And in fact, if you don't do that, then you failed miserably to be a Rebbe to the Talmidim. And the truth is, Aluf, the first letter, Aleph Beis, is Aluf Bina, to learn Torah. And the word Aluf, Aleph, is not just Aluf, it's Aluf, which means the highest rank you can achieve
in the army.
In the army, everything is a mashal. There are many different madrigos in the army. Someone over here could rattle off me in the United States, all the different, anyone here know all the different ranks? Private? Who wants to rattle off all the ranks? How many ranks are there until you become a 5-star general? Okay, the word Aluf means a 5-star general. And it also means learn Torah. And it's not two separate concepts. It's totally zebizeh. The most important thing to teach and to learn, to digest in your study of Torah, is the yearning, the she'ifa of greatness. to reach the highest rank in this world possible. The highest degree, Moshe Rabbeinu, he reached the 50th level of understanding, whatever that means. Shlomo HaMelech could make it, only 49. But Shlomo HaMelech didn't make it, only 49. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he made it all the way to number 50. That's the goal. Oh, but you're teaching Aleph Beis, so what? So what? Rabbi Akiva started to learn Aleph Beis when he was 40 years old. And Rabbi Akiva became the spitz of Torah Shebal Peh. Ad Kedei Kach, that Moshe Rabbeinu, who reached the 50th level of understanding, told Hashem, I don't understand what's going on. Hashem put Moshe in Rabbi Akiva's shir in the back row to see what's going to be. And Moshe says, I don't understand a word he said. I don't understand. So yet Moshe became who he became. Aleph is to learn Torah. But the most critical element in Jewish education is to impart into Talmidim the she'ifa, the godless, the greatness of Torah, and the yearning to master kol ha-Torah kula.
Cheshkas
ha-Torah. Excellent. Okay, that is a very important yisoid in Aleph. Aleph, also everyone knows, just from the basic yisoid, Aleph is, there are two yuds, and there is a line. The line represents the letter vav, and the two yuds are the gematria 10. So 10, 20, and 6 is 26. Yud, K, Vav, K is the Shem Hashem. The Aleph, the beginning of Torah, is Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. When you start with the letter Aleph, the Aleph itself captures the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't start with an appreciation, Reishis Chochma, to acknowledge that you have in front of you Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Yiresh Chachma Yiras Hashem, you're done, you're toast, you have no chance. Torah is a divine Chachma, you have to have Yiras Shemayim as you begin. Aleph also spelled, you reverse the order, there's a lot of talk on this, is Pella, is wonder. The Aleph in reverse is the word Pella, is a wonder. And Aleph on the one hand represents, you know, the very beginning, the most basic building block of creation. One, you start with nothing. But in that little one is a microcosm of the whole world. This Pella is a wonder. Niflois, Pile Ploim. Aleph also is Eiffel. Eiffel represents the ultimate darkness. Eiffel. Aleph, if you change the letter, Ophel. And when you it represents darkness. This world is very deceiving. You look out in the world, if you want, you'll see Ophel. You'll see nothing. You'll see absolutely nothing in this world. A world of darkness. V'choshech al pnei sohoim. That's how it says. B'reish z'bor l'kim e'ez shmaim v'ez 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 v'ez. But when you take that Ophel and you invest in it, and you study, you can see Peloim, Pella, Pei, Lam, and Aleph. Aleph is the same word as Pella. Aleph is, you know, the first letter, or means to learn, and it means also Ophel. Is don't be deceived by the darkness, the Choshech. In that darkness, there is an infinite revelation. Pasuk says in the Pasuk, Gal Einai, open up my eyes, the Abita I will behold, Niflois, the wonders, Mitoirosech. A Pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Yutes, that alludes to the letter Aleph. The letter Aleph is, Aleph means Aloif Bina, represents the learning of Torah, Toirosecha, and when you, that's the word Pella, but until the person, his eyes are opened, until he sees, he's just looking at Ophel, he's looking at thick darkness, not realizing the infinite amount of wonders that are out there in the world. Okay, there's really an infinite amount, but let's go to another letter. Mm-hmm. Another letter, Beis. Beis, now what he does very nicely here in this little chapter is there's a translation for every single letter. Just like Aleph means to teach or to learn, or it means Aleph means chief. So every letter Beis, what is Beis? Bias. Beis is the letter which bet, right? Bet is it's the word, the letter itself is translated as a home, a bias. And it's interesting that a bias, there are three sides. You would expect, if we were writing the letters of the Alephase, you would expect that if you wanted to find a bias, it should be like an endomem. It should be completely closed on all sides. Isn't that what a bias is? You take your children to your home and you lock the doors. You don't want any predators coming into the home in the middle of the night. So if you were to go take a word which means a home, a bias, a secure place of protection, you can go to sleep, have nothing to worry about. Children, wouldn't you think that the bias should be completely sealed in all four sides? Yet it's open on one side entirely. That's a Musa Haskel. A bias, too much, if you shield, obviously in this world, we live in a dangerous world, obviously, you have to clock the doors. But ideally, a person has to realize a bias is not a place where you completely shelter yourself from interacting with the rest of the world.
It's not a prison.
It's not a prison, exactly. It's a place of security. You're sheltered, three sides, but it's open. It's open because, number one, your home has to be open to other people when necessary. Number two, when it's necessary, you should leave. You should leave. And number three, you're part of the larger world and you have to participate. You have to know what's going on out there in the world. A bias is not an end name.
You protect it from the top, you protect it from the bottom, and you protect it from the back. But go forward.
Go forward. A healthy bias is where there is protection, there's shelter.
Structure.
There's structure. But it's a place where that with guidance and delicacy, you're open to the world. You allow yourself training and preparation to be a participant in what's out there. There's shelter, but not to an extreme. We live in a world today of extremes. Everything is an extreme today. Sometimes you don't have a choice. Okay, I'm not a decision maker in anything. But obviously, in the ideal world, there has to be balance, and not to resort to extremes. A bias is open for many different positive elements that are out there in the world, and it's closed to protect yourself from the dangerous things. The letter Beis also, letter Beis also is the first letter of doubling. The Aleph, and all the letters, they work together. Aleph Beis together is Av, a father. When does a person become a father? When he has a child. Beis represents multiplication. It's the first letter where one is no longer one. Now there's two. When a father has a child, he has now expanded. Until now, I was one, and now I have a malam. I have a child. I have expanded from one to two. That makes the person into an af. I'll give you an example. It says in the Chinuch HaSechel, incredible chiddush. It says in the pasuk, ish imo. So Chazal, why does it say the word S? S is Lerabois, your older brother. And the Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch, has a big debate. If you look up the Minchas Chinuch, is a person mechuyev to give honor to his oldest sister? Oldest sister. So that's not a father. So part of the discussion is, why does a person, what's the logic? Let's say you have a younger brother. You have a brother, let's say child number 10. He has an obligation to give honor to his father, an obligation to give honor to his oldest brother.
S.
S l'rabba sechicha ha-godol. Now, does that mean every one of your older brothers, or does it mean only your oldest brother? Does it mean your oldest sister? So there's a big dilemma. We can't, there's a whole sugya, but to make the long story short, let's assume for the moment it means your oldest brother only, not all of your other brothers. What is the logic why the Torah would want you to give honor to your oldest brother and not your other brothers? And in general, why? Who cares about the older one? Why? If the Torah wants you to give honor to your father, that just give honor to your father. And the answer is, because who made your father into a father? The Bechor. The first, until a person has a child, he's not called a father. He's just a person. He's an Adam. when a husband, a person, an ish, an adam, a baal.
The oldest brother is the malamakam of the.
That's not what he says. That's not what he says. You're saying a different idea. You're saying a different idea. But put that aside. The person was, until he had a child, he was just a husband. He was just an individual. He was an ish, an adam, a baal. When he had his first child, he now became an af. So the first child a person has creates a chalois, a lomish of art, a chalois, that this individual is not just an ish, an adam, a baal. He's an af. 10 years later, you come along.
Maybe that should include his sister.
Oh, it does. So exactly the Minchas Chinuch says. That's because it's a din, and when you have 10 years later, it comes along the 10th child. So he has an obligation to give cover to his father, his biological father. But you know, there was a partner in making your biological father into your father, besides the mother. It's the first, the Bechor. The first child that was born created a mitzius that this person's biological father is an af. Kabeid es avicha. Who made your father into a father? Not just you. You weren't the only one that your birth made your father into an av. He's your father, but he was an av before you came around. Because the oldest child made the ish into an af. And in a chanami, according to that lumdis, the same law would apply to a sister. The firstborn girl, if the first child that this person that was an ikeva, doesn't matter. By having a girl, a daughter, the daughter makes your father, made him into an av. So when the Torah is kabeid es avicha, es is l'rabos, not just the person, but the partners that made him into an af. If you happen to be the Bechor, you're the only one. But if you came later on and you have older brothers, older sisters, there was someone before you that made your biological father into an af. And the Torah says, all of those partners deserve honor.
What is the yes?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. So there is such a principle, Aleph Beis. Beis represents the first letter in the Aleph Beis where there's an expansion. Aleph is a single digit. Beis is an expansion. When an individual expands his makom in this world by having a child, he goes from an Aleph to a Beis, he becomes an Av. The two letters go together. Okay, let's go to Gimel. What does Gimel mean, literally?
By the way, you mentioned before, there's another aspect of the Beis. Like you mentioned, that when the Tinaikis came, they were
Bina.
Aleph Bina.
Aleph Bina.
It's a way of life. Goimel Dalim.
Right. It's a whole Gemara. We can be here for months going through. Right. I just want to focus on a little pratim. I know the Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Ches, Omed Aleph, that today the children have come back from the Beis Medrash. They have taught us things that we did not hear since the time of Yeshua ben Nun. It's infinite, mamish infinite. We're just going to focus on little pratim, little small things that he presents. He has a lot of just little pratim, which are new to me. What does the letter Gimel mean? Gimel means, like in the Gemara says, Rabbi Mordechai was quoting the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Gimel Dalin. Gimel means to bestow. Gomel chasodim tovim. It means to give. It means to be gracious. Avraham Avinu. It also means independence. Biyoim, probably the most, he writes it, the most precise usage of the word Gimel in the Torah is not Gimel, but the day when Avraham made a party for Yitzchak. Biyoim, Vayas Avraham Mishte Godol, Biyoim, he gomel es Yitzchak. What does it mean, he gomel? The two words really go together. Gomel and gomel, he was weaned. Independence. When a child is 2 years old, he has matured to the degree that he no longer needs his mother. In ancient times, there was no formula. And the only sustenance an infant has to survive is his mother nurses him. He's nursed by his mother. And if the mother is not going to nurse him, the baby's going to starve to death. The baby will die. That was a reality. Okay, you need someone to nurse the child. When the child becomes 2 years old, he no longer needs his mother to survive. The child can already eat and drink solids and liquids, there are things that he can eat, is not dependent upon his mother. So the child achieves independence. B'yoim hi gomel. The letter gimel represents independence, but also represents giving. Giving. That's completely opposite concepts. If you're a giver, then if you're giving, well, not necessarily opposites, but the two go together in teaching. The real independence in this world is to give. You would think that independence means I don't take and I don't give. I'm self-contained. A person that's independent, I don't give. I don't have to give. I have a storehouse of what I need, and Baruch Hashem, I don't need to take tzedakah. As long as I don't need to take, that makes me independent. Isn't that the way we think in this world? The person is self-sufficient. He has a job, and he makes a nice salary, and every month, every week, every day, money comes into his bank account, direct deposit. That's it. I'm set. I'm independent. I have nothing to worry about. It's not true. The word gimel is higomel. B'yom higomel. The way it's used, see, the point he makes here in the Sefer very much is, don't overlook a letter in the Aleph Beis the way it's used exactly in the Torah. Because the Torah, just like we have a principle, the first time you find the letter in the Torah, the first thing is define, not only a letter, but a word or a concept defines the concept. The letters are holy letters. And if the letter is used in a certain context in the Torah, it's not an accident. That carries an enormous amount of weight. So gimel, the Gemara darshins, means to give. Gimel, it means goimel, it means gimel dalem. Give, give, give. Give from your assets, from your wealth, to the poor. Be generous. That's what the Gemara says. But that's not how it's used in the Torah. In the Torah, the word gimel is hi gomel. The hey is just a prefix. Gomel. Gomel means independence. Combine the Torah Shebal Peh with the Torah Shebichsav. And the Torah Shebichsav, it's always very harsh, Torah Shebichsav. It means independence. Gomel. I'm a gomel. Gomel means I am weaned. I no longer need the sustenance of my mother. I'm an independent person. Chazal come along and they say, you know what gimel means? Goimel da'alem. Give money to the poor, give tzedakah. What is the combination of the Torah Shebal Peh and the Torah Shebichsav telling you? Real independence is to give. Don't think that not taking charity makes you independent. Having a job, being self-sufficient, having income, having talent to earn money, and not being included in the klala of ki lo yechdal evyon mikarev haaretz, don't think that makes you independent. That's not going to make you independent in this world. Because the Torah Shebal Peh Megale, real independence in this world depends on how much you give to other people. Gimel in the Gemara is to be a goimel. In Torah Shebichsav, it's gomel, independent. I don't need anyone. Real independence is having a generosity of spirit, of giving. That's what frees the person from his limitations and creates a real independence to be open to the concept of giving. Okay, Dalit. What is Dalit? Well, Dalit really means a delus. We don't say it correctly. For some reason, I've always wondered about this. How do you spell Dalit when you spell it out? Dalit, Lamed. Every letter it needs other letters to spell. Every letter is not independent. Every letter needs other letters. Dalit is always spelled Dalit, Lamed, Saf. So when you say Dalit. No one says Dalit. Dalit. I don't know. How do you say Dalit?
It's often spelled
D-A-L-E-T. Dalit.
Dalit.
Tav. Dalit. Lamed Tav, which is Deles, a door. a door. Gomel is a door. You have the door, Vayiskar Hashem, you have the door. By the Teva, there's no door, isn't it? By the Teva, there is no door. There is no door by the Teva. It's fascinating. The first time you find the door is by Lot. Vayiskar Bado. But it doesn't say that he closed the door. He closed the window, the chaloin. It says there's no. It says the there was no door in the teva. The first time you find a door, you find the door is by Lot. When the malachim came, the Lot was vayiskar deles. He closed the door. He closed the door. That's a very interesting concept because look at the bias. The bias, Avraham's bias, was open on all four sides. Okay, it was open. And the bais, the bias of the Torah is also has no door. The bias in the Torah has three sides. Bais, the second letter of the Aleph, bais, is no door. The first time you have a door which represents total confinement is the letter Dalet. A door means, that's it, you shut. And it's not a coincidence that Dalit is also in the Gemara, the Torah Shebal Peh. We're combining now Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebal Peh. Each one by itself is only half the story. That's the art of Talmud Torah, Aleif Bina. The art of learning Torah is you always must synthesize Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebal Peh. What is the word Dalit in Torah Shebal Peh? Dal. Gemol Dalim. Okay, Dalit represents the poor. Bestow kindness upon the poor. What is Dalit in the Torah Shebichsav? Delis. Dalit. What is a door? Confinement. There is no one that is more confined and limited, both physically and in mind, in frame of mind, than a poor person. A person who is a Dal. Okay, we discussed today all the different words of poverty. There is an ani, an evyoin, a rosh, and there is a dal. Okay, how to differentiate between all these four is very difficult.
Maybe the poor person comes to your door.
The poor person, very interesting. Okay, that's an interesting analogy. How to get interesting? He comes to the dal, comes to the delis. Very interesting. Comes to knock on your door for money. But and then this other approach, when you combine, just like we combine the gimel of the Torah, independence, with the Torah Shebal Peh. Of giving, true independence in mind is when you're open to give. Likewise, true limitation, enclosure, imprisonment is to lack the resources of being able to achieve. Every person needs, you need food, you need a little spending money, you need to open up your mind. Person has wealth, is not worried about paying the bills. His mind is open. He's in a frame of mind where he's curious. He wants to go out to the world and achieve and accomplish. A person who's a dal and is just struggling to survive, he's locked up. He's imprisoned. He's stuck behind a door, a delis, just like Lot. He took the delis. What is the purpose of a door? The purpose of a door is protection. It's limitation. Vayiskar delas ba'ado, the people of Sodom wanted to harass the malachim. So he closed the door. He confined them. But when you're confined, you're limited by the door. You're sheltered to an extreme. You're not able to go out there into the world. That is the synthesis of the Dalit, and Torah Shebal Sav, Torah Shebal Peh. One of my favorite letters, letter Hey.
In the Gematria of Dalit, if we do it in the meaning, we do with the
tough. Yeah, you do. Absolutely. Yes. Every letter has three except for a few. Hey, and one is four. Yes, the tough. Absolutely. There's no doubt. That's why it's a pell in the Gemara.
Hey
is two hey's.
It could be hey.
Three ways. Hey Aleph, hey, or hey yud hey. Three ways to spell the letter hey, right? So but Dalit is always spelled Dalit Lamitsof. Oh tough. Dal Lamitov. Three letters, absolutely. Yes. It's interesting, the Gemara says Dal. The Gemara completely ignores Aleph, all the letters are accounted for, Beis, Gimel is accounted for, Gimel, and Dalit not. It's a Pella. The Gemara talk, it's a big mystery. Why the Gemara, when the Gemara Darshan is Gimel Dalim, the Gemara ignores the tav. Big kasha. Why did the Gemara ignore the tav? I don't know. It could be. I'll tell you one. I'm just thinking out loud. As Rambam Yossi would say, is that the tav? A lot of rise that the tav is not really a letter. The tav is like wrapping paper for the aleph base. The tav is the last letter of the aleph base. Tav actually means a mark. What does tav mean? He writes over here. Tav means a mark. It's a pasuk in the Torah. In the parashas, is it a pasuk? Hashem put it. Tav means to make a mark. Tav. It's the psukim that say tav.
Yeah.
It means to make a mark. At the end of all the letters of the aleph base, after you get to letter shin, tav, you make a mark. Ad kan. The aleph base is over. We're finished. It's like a period. In English, when you finish a sentence, what do? You make a mark. You put down a dot. It's over. Every magazine, they have a little symbol when the article is over. All the magazines, they have a unique type of a smidget.
The story is over.
What?
When the story is over.
Every professional magazine, they have a little indication, some design, some type of little tchotchke they put there. Oh, after you read 10 pages and you kept looking through all the advertisements, and we put you on a wild goose chase until you got to the end of the article. Oh, now you know that the article is over. So that's nothing new. Torah was ahead of the game. Torah was way ahead of its time, Hashem. Hashem had also an indication that the spiel is geendigt.
So you say it's not really letter.
What's the word Torah? Torah is... You have to work it out. This is a popular idea. So...
It is and it's not.
So I'm just asking a question. In the letters of the aleph base, Aloif Bina, learn Torah, Gimel Dalim, bestow kindness upon the poor. Each of the letters in the Gemara, when the Gemara spells out the letter, they use all of the letters that you spell out called the Milui. You have the letter Aleph. We discussed Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei Aleph, and when you read it backwards, it's Pella, and when you read it in out of order, it's Ophel. So every letter must be accounted for when you spell out the letter itself. So that's true for Aleph, for Bayis, Gimel, 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 Gomel. But when it comes to the letter Dalit, it's Deles. And when the Gemara says the letter Dalit, it ignores the final letter, the Sof, the Tav. Why? So I do not know. But we have to also remember the letter Tav is a different type of letter. The letter Tav is not necessarily a real letter that gets the full weight because it means a mark. And in the orders of the letter of the Aleph Beis, he interprets this. He brings down everything. He, of course, the site is sourced is that when you fit the Aleph Beis really ends with the letter Shin. And then when it says the letter Tav, Tav is just a mark. Tav means it's a mark. The Aleph Beis is now over. We're now finished. Okay, just going off on a tangent, you know, you have in the Gemara all the Shas, so the Gemara wants to give exaggerations, hyperboles. So many times the Gemara says 300. Many examples of the Gemara gives the number three. This person had 300 this, 300, 300.
That's
and the Gemara is Guzma, and sometimes when the Gemara gives Guzmais, it says 400.
Right.
Esav came to greet Yaakov, the Arba Meos Ish Imoi. So we find. So why is it, make up your mind. If you want to give exaggerations, so either be consistent, use the number 300, or the number 400. So one answer, which is pretty good, it works out 95% of the time, not always, is whenever the Gemara gives an exaggeration with the number 300, it is a spiritual exaggeration. I have to find examples to show this to you. 300 is an aguzma. In Ruchnius, and Tav 400 is an exaggeration in Gashmius. Esav is Kula Gashmi. Esav is Kula Gashmi. He wanted the brachas. He just wanted Gashmius. So when he came to fight with Yaakov Avinu, how many people came along with him? The Arba Meois Ish Imai. Now we have to remember what we just said. We have to combine all of these ideas together. Tav is not real. It's imaginary. Tav is just a line. It's a mark. It's just a mark. It has no real, it doesn't carry any real weight. It's just a mark. You've come to the end. Esav, in the world of Gashmius.
It'd be interesting if you're saying it because of the
Yeah,
Arba Meo Shana, very good. 400 years. There are a lot. You have to go through all the examples. There's many, many examples of the number 300 and 400 and see how they work out. But being, if you accept this principle that we have to we're trying to combine these things together, Tav is nothing. It's the ultimate. See, Aleph is the smallest letter of the Aleph base. Tav, it's not even a letter. It's a dot. The letters of the last letter is the letter Shin. Finished. Spitz of Ruchnius. Now you put a period, a smidget, to go indicate, oh, Adkan, we're finished. We want to make an indication, a notation, like at the end of a story in a magazine. The story is over. We sent you through a wild goose chase because we wanted you to see all the advertisements. It's over. Tav, it's over. By in Gashmius, don't forget, Gashmius is imaginary. All the world's Gashmius, everything the world has to offer in its exaggerated state, Esav is coming with Arba Meos Ish Imai to wipe out Yaakov Avinu. Esav, you're a Tav. You're nothing. You're not even a letter. You're just a little dot to indicate, a little mark of indication. Here you are. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be impressed with the gashmius of this world, the exaggerated. What? It says they all ran, at the end they all ran away. Rashi says they all ran away. They all got scared, they ran away at the end.
How much did they start out with?
400, it says. 400, so it says like 400.
400 is gematria, ayin ra.
Ayin ra. Okay, so Tav is a mark which really indicates the end, but Tav also is the number that's used in Tanakh, always represents the spitz of Gashmitz. The Masecht Avoy de Zara of Avraham Avinu, how many prakim did it have? 400. 400 parakim. Okay, the lab that I write on all the different examples of 400. The Ma'aris Machpel, how much Avraham Avinu pay for the Ma'aris Machpelah? Arba Meoy Shekel Kesef Oiver La Soicher. In other words, it was the most expensive piece of real estate in the world. It says the number 400. It means, is it to be taken literally 400? Or it means it was a ridiculous amount of money. A ridiculous amount of money. Gashmius, money, 400. Why not 300 is Ruchnius, 400 is Gashmius. But again, 400 Tav, it's just a Tav. What does Tav mean? It means a mark. Okay, another example. Now the letter Hey. What does the letter Hey mean? This, first of all, again, we're going to combine Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebalpeh to bring out the depth of the letters. That's the goal. The goal is synthesize Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebalpeh. Where do you find the word Hey in the Torah? Yosef Atzadik, Hey Lochem Zera. Yosef implemented the Mechol, he walked out, too bad, the Great Reset. Okay, if you pay attention to the news, you waste time on the news, there's a conspiracy theory. Okay, there's a conspiracy theory that's gaining a lot of steam out there. So a lot of crazy people out there in the world. And what do crazy people want to do? And it's really right out of the Torah. It's mamish, it's unbelievable. You open up to see what it says in the Torah. Crazy people, they want to create chaos. They want to create chaos, which causes the world order to collapse. There should be a great depression. There should be pandemonium, a breakdown of society because money's not worth anything, or because of a pandemic. And then what happens? You create chaos, and then the government comes along and says, okay, this chaos, we're here to save you now. We're going to save society on one condition. You give up your freedom to us. You become our slaves. Who did this? This idea, Yosef, unbelievable, right out of the Torah. There was chaos. There was a famine. And the famine got worse and worse and worse. People sold off their assets, their slaves, their life savings, and then their houses. And then there was nothing left to sell. They sold themselves. And Yosef came along and he implemented the Great Reset. You become my slave and I'll be the great savior. I'll give you seed. Hey Lochem Zera. That was the very end of the famine. Is people, the whole society, the civilized world basically came to an end. And Egypt owned everything. And they were slaves. It was communism. Before the Great Reset, it was capitalism. People were independent. They had rights. They had freedom. They had assets. And the famine was the ultimate chaos in the world. People were reduced to nothing. They sold off everything. At the end, the government came along, Yosef, and he owned everything. He owned literally everything. And now I'm going to save you. And he gave them Zera. Hey, Lochem Zera. And they said, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's very interesting, no?
Abdul Elif Abdullah's Biden, his name is Joe.
I don't get it.
Joseph.
What? Joe. Okay, this is a conspiracy theory which goes on that people they talk about in the world of lately, because the last couple of years there's been so much chaos. What's going on exactly? And look at the Torah. Isn't exactly what happened with Yosef? The world completely collapsed. The world, the pre-existing world order collapsed. And the end was Mitzrayim owned everything. It turned into a communist society. It went from a capitalist society to a communist society, and the people were very happy. You own nothing and you're happy. It's very, very frightening, such a concept. But in the process, when this happened, Yosef said to them these words, Hey Lochem Zera. What does hey mean? I'm giving. Hey. What does hey mean? The letter hey mean literally, Torah Shebichsav. It means to give.
Have.
It means to give. Naha means to take. Have with a base. Have, hey, base means to take.
Oh.
Hey, the word, we're trying to translate every single word. Aleph means to learn or to study. Aleph, base, bias. Gimel means to be independent. Hey means to give. What do Chazal say about the letter hey? What's Chazal's take on the letter hey? Hey is the letter which Hashem created the world. Hey, from all the letters of the Aleph base, is the least effort. Huh. You just open your mouth, it's air. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chaim. Huh. You just breathe out air and it makes a sound. This world was an effortless creation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. And Chazal can also compare this world ki b'ka Hashem tsur olamim. The hay was used as the blueprint for this world, and the yud is the blueprint for the next world. And Chazal make a drasha, the hay. Hey is open on two sides, because in this world it's very easy to fall into Gehenna. It's super easy. The Yetzer Hara is out there wherever you turn. There, the whole bottom of the world is open. This world, it's a bottomless pit, a bottomless cesspool. What could happen in this world? And you need to really, really float and protect yourself. And in case Chas V'Shalom a person falls out, Hashem gives you a way to come back in. This whole Gemara, the Darshan, that the letter Hey represents this world. Now, combine together the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav is Hey means give. Hey Lochem Zera, I'm giving. Give. Hey is the letter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used, is the blueprint of this world. What does that mean? Oilam Chesed Yibaneh. When you summarize the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh, this world, the creation of this world, from soup to nuts, is the ultimate expression of Hashem giving. Oilam, the world, Chesed Yibaneh, is built on a principle of kindness. Through creating this world, does Hashem give every living creature the opportunity to earn his keep in Oilam Haba. If Hashem would not have created this world, then the neshamas that Hashem would create would go to Gan Eden and would not have any pleasure. Because if you don't earn it, there's no pleasure. Yeah, if you're not nene miyigias kapoy, there's no hana. So Hashem gave. He did chesed. Chesed is to give. How did he do chesed? By creating this world. Hester Panim. Man comes into this world, has nisyonos, he's oimed in this nisyonos, thereby he earns his chayek in Elam Haba. So when you combine the hey, what Chazal say, and what it says in the Torah, another example, you have a much greater appreciation of what the letter means. Vav, what is Vav? Vav means a hook. The Vavei Hoamudim. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, there was 1,000, how many shkolim went for the Vavei Hamudim? 1,000. V'yesa elef ushva me'ois. Machamisha v'shevim. 1,750 shkolim went to purchase, the hooks upon which the... Which pasuk to marry? Shemos?
3821.
I'm sure she's right. The Vavei Hoamudim. Moshe, so the Vavei Hoamudim, Vavei means, it means a hook. It means a hook. And it also, this is what it says. Oh, very good. And the Vav, so what does the Vav do? It's a chibur, okay, it's a hook. What is a hook? A hook is a chibur. And it's also a mahapech. One of the most popular, the Vav mahapech. One of the most popular rules in grammar is the Vav can take you mikotze el kotze, from the past, hoya vihoya. Hoya is the past. Vihoya, it will be. Im Shemoya Tishmu, if you will listen. So the Vav can go from one extreme to the other, which is the opposite of connection. The Vav Achibur, it maintains the status quo. The Vav is a hook. So the hook is we connect one object to another object. We maintain the status quo, the present. The Vav continues going forward, but yet the Vav can make you go backwards. The Vav HaChibur is you take what was in the past, what's behind you, and physically, and you connect it to what's in front of you. So the Vav represents the principle of going forward. But yet, the Vav also can take you, Vav HaMahapich, it can go in the opposite direction. Hoya is what was. Vihoya, what will be. Okay, let's say you have the other way around.
When it's va, it takes it from the future to the past.
It's in the past. Okay, so it represents there is a concept in the Vav of Hoya Hoyve Viyeh. It's a very holy letter. It's not for nothing that in Hashem's name there is a Vav Yud. Yudke Vavke, that Hashem's name.
The most common letter in the Chumash.
The letter Vav represents an element of spirituality, which breaks time, because the Vav is the connecting. Generally, is the connection, which is basically the present. This moment in time is mechaber, the past and the future, the present. There's a very big dilemma in science. Is there really something called the present? This is the philosophical question. Is there really something called the present?
No.
See, this you have Das Torah. Is there the present? Many philosophers will argue there is no such thing as the present.
It's already the past.
Every moment in time was or will be. If when you break down time, go down to the microscopic level, moments in time, it's either was or the past. So there's an approach in the world of science, there's no such thing as the present. Chazal disagree. This is a very fascinating topic. Chazal, because Chazal say, Yudke Vavke is Hoya Hoive Viye. There is something called the present. Okay, that, L'choira, that there is something called the present is really very difficult to understand. What do you mean there's the present? Science, L'chaira, is right. There is no present. Because every moment is either... Time cannot be stopped. In order to have a present, you have to freeze time. So L'chaira in science, you're right, there's a past and there's a future. Yet Chazal make it very clear, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Li'olam Voed. The fact that there are three psukim, there's no such pasuk, by the way, that says that. That's a composite of three psukim. And the fact that there are three, that we combine them together, the contrast indicates if there's Hashem is Molach, and there's Hashem is Yimloch, and there's also Hashem Melech, that there is a present. The Vav captures that concept. Because the Vav mitzad echad is the chibur between the past and the present, but yet the Vav also is the Vav of Mahapech, which can, it spans time. It can go backwards. In the world of reality, the physicality, there's no such thing as going backwards. In the world of Ruchnius, there is going backwards. Teshuvah. Okay, they're different concepts. I'll leave you with this, I think I told you many times, and I talked to a mathematician about this. I told this to a couple of people over the years, and I all got very, very harsh criticism. Not very harsh, but some people, mamash, laughed me off. And I told this to one person, and he told me that I'm right. And I asked him, listen, I know we know nothing about Gilgulim. I know that. We know nothing about Gilgulim. A person dies, resurrection, come back, another lifetime. You read that book from what's her name? One who wrote that book about people from the Holocaust. We know nothing about this. But Lu Yitzuya, what?
Rigla,
okay? Lu Yitzuya, make believe in a world of, we know what resurrection, we know what reincarnation is. Is it possible a person leaves this world, I'm talking nonsense over here, leave this world, and in Shema they say, you need a tikkun, so we have to send you back again. But you know something? We have the whole future in front of us. We don't see a role for you to play in this world where your neshama will get a tikkun going back into the future. Until Mashiach comes, there's nothing that we can do for you. We can find for you a place in this world where you'll be able to do something that will be mesakeh in your neshama. But you know, had you lived 1,000 years ago in this shtetl, in this place, perfect. There would have been a perfect opportunity for your neshama to come back to this world and fix itself. So you know what? Back to the future. We're going to send your neshama, a person leaves this world in this generation, we're going to send you back 10 generations as a Gilgul, 10 generations backwards. Is there such a thing going backwards?
Yes.
Going backwards. So I told this a certain Talmid Chacham, and they said, it says, some of them were more polite. I remember one particular person, I could see him smirking, and he says, very big Talmid Chacham, very big into Yoni Kabbalah and these things, he says to me, interesting idea, but from Chazal, it's not mashma, anything like this. Never heard of a Maimer Chazal like this. It's not mashma. There's a possibility for a person to go back in time as a Gilgul. I told this to a mathematician, Dr. Leon Ehrenpreis. He's a very Talmud Chacham, a Talmud, a Musnuch of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's a genius. And he's very, you know, into Einstein and theory of relativity, v'chulu. And he says, and I remember his expression on his face, and he has to think about it. And then when I met him the next time, he says to me, he was thinking a lot about it. He says, yeah, he thinks that in Chazal, this can be in his inyan, in his understanding of the different memory Chazal, the Dilui side of things, he says there's room to say such a thing. Science fiction, right?
No, it's called
science fiction. If you go back in time, that means we, the whole world is updating. It's constantly updating, not Mistava, such a thing, but... Forward! They went forward. Should I recreate the world? So you see... Okay, so you see...
Ulai,
it's not going to work in your case, but maybe for someone else it will work. Okay, so anyway, I'll tell you, that's the Vav. The Vav is a very unique letter. The Vav, Be'etzem, represents the Hoive. It's the Vav HaChibur. What is the present? The present is the chibur. Every moment in the present is machaber, the past and the future. But the vav is also the vav hamahapech. It can take you from now backwards. Hoya hoyve v'yia. It's a very complex understanding of time. The letter vav is playing with the principle of time. All right, we'll stop over here.